Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match.
Been to their Bruce Beach project. You may have seen a restroom facility that they have out front called a Portland Loo.
So, you know how I sometimes say that the meeting was boring, okay? And I mean that as a compliment because, you know, boring meetings are usually kind of productive and, I mean, they don't make great radio. I'm going to try to make great radio out of something that's really boring but very cool, okay? It's kind of small. It's local government stuff, but it's like, this is a really neat note, okay? This is Bruce Woody, the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA, talking to his board on Tuesday. We had him on the show yesterday. We did not talk about this, but I think this is actually a very interesting story. Remember the Portland Loos that the city of Pensacola has? Four of them. One's gone in at Bruce Beach. The others are supposed to go in at the skate park, at Museum Plaza behind, don't call it the T.T. Wentworth Museum. And it's always going to be the T.T. Wentworth Museum. Anyway, and then the other one is supposed to go in on Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza for the I want to call it the Maker Faire. What's the thing? The Saturday Food Mart. I can't think of the stupid name of it. What are they on every Saturday? They have the Farmers Market. No, not the Farmers Market. What are they? They don't call it that. You know what I mean? And I feel really stupid. Anyway, so he starts talking about how they've got these Portland Loos, these, you know, facilities for people to have, you know, well, they are facilities, right? In the euphemistic way where you go pee, which is good to have outdoor restrooms. The things themselves are pretty expensive. God, I want to say they were a couple hundred thousand dollars a piece. I think they're pretty expensive, but cheaper than building a new one, okay? And semi-portable. Like, I mean, you have to have a concrete pad. You have to hook them up to the water and the sewer and that kind of stuff. And that's why this came up in the meeting.
They received bids on those recently, and the only person that bid on them was the same contractor that had installed them over at Bruce Beach. He had some challenges putting them in, and I think that was part of the reason that the fees were so high, almost prohibitively high. They don't know if they're going to go forward with it. And one of their costs that was really astronomical was just the cost to tap and provide water service and sanitary sewer service to the three restrooms. What he asked me was if ECUA would give any consideration to helping them on these projects.
Yeah, and by the way, Palafox Market, thank you, texters. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. But yeah, he says that the cost to install the one at Bruce Beach was really high, and city council had been kind of choking on the cost of how much it would be to install the other three. Remember them having this conversation about, like, you know, the per square footage of this thing is outrageous when you finally get it installed. So basically, he had had a mayor, or he had had a meeting with the mayor, and they had talked about it, and they really only had the one person who had bid on it, so they didn't have a lot of options. And apparently it came up in this conversation, well, maybe we can install it for you. Or not install it, but we can do the sewer and the water hookups, because we do that for, obviously, we do that all the time. And it's our infrastructure that you're hooking to, so, you know, why not? So he says, look, the one at the skate park is easy.
A skate park. Remember, the skate park is located under I-10, not too far from the police station. And there's a location map that shows approximate location of the restroom facility. We have relatively easy access to water and sewer in that location.
Cool. So that one's easy to do. Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza for the Farmers Market.
Second location is at the MLK Plaza. If you look at the second map, the approximate location is in the middle of the page. You'll remember that the city has a really nice farmer's market located in that area.
He even called it farmer's market.
Restroom to help support that and other activities as well. We already have water service, water line that runs right down the middle of that median, so that's easy access to tap and provide.
Yeah, so he says putting that one in, no problem. Museum Plaza, behind the Don't Call It the T.T. Wentworth Museum, that one And the details here maybe don't matter so much, but apparently they've got issues with the height and the sewer service in that area, and it would be so close to a set of lines that they'd literally have to cross those lines, a big line. And so it just it would be difficult logistically to do it. So he says, instead of putting it there, we actually recommend putting it across the street from the building in, like, you know, Jackson Square, across the street, or in a different portion of the museum plaza that it might work. And if they don't want to do that, well, we don't really recommend doing the one that they're talking about doing. You say, why am I bringing all this up? Well, because the proposal is, instead of paying a private contractor to do this, we can do it at cost.
My suggestion for board consideration, certainly up to you policy-wise, be that we may make them an offer to help with their skate park location and MLK Plaza location by doing it at cost. I think we should subsidize their projects necessarily, but...
But yeah, we don't want to subsidize their projects, but we can do it at cost, save them a bunch of money, get the thing done, everybody's happy. He also explained we don't want to do the paving and all of that afterwards. They can do that with their own stuff, but we'll do the connections. You know, that's fine. That's easy enough for us, and we don't want to necessarily set a big precedent of doing this. You say, well, how much money are they going to save? I'll tell you in a second, because that was the question I had, is how much is it saving? John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but thank you for the heads up on this. If you're traveling on Highway 90 heading into Pensacola, right before you get to the first bridge, we're seeing some backups through that construction zone. It's down to one lane in the construction zone, so just be aware of that. Pack another 10 to 15 minutes onto your commute. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the conversation at ECUA about this issue of helping the city of Pensacola actually install the Portland News. They have the you know, semi-permanent, semi-portable bathroom facilities that they've got, one at Bruce Beach, and want to put the other three in at these three locations around town: Palafox Market, MLK Plaza, the T.T. Wentworth Museum Plaza. Oh, I said it, did I? Okay, anyway. And at the skate park. And Larry Williams, a board member, says, how much are we saving with this?
How much are we saving the city on this project?
They didn't say the exact amount, but I think
percentage-wise,
this portion, I think they went, I think the contractor went at well over $100,000 for these various connections that we're proposing to do for maybe 12. Well, that 12 is just for two of the three. We'll have to come back and talk about the third location, but it'll be saving them tens of thousands of dollars.
So they're going to save the city. By the way, the number is even higher than it sounds. I went back and looked at the old article by Jim Little about this subject. The one at Bruce Beach was $70,000 to install. Each of the other three was going to be $160,000 each to install. So pushing $500,000 to install these three things, which the city council, I now remember all their heartburn over this, and they didn't want to spend that kind of money to install these, and because they were worried that they would get flayed in the media or social media for having spent so much money per square foot on something, and a fair concern. So now ECUA says, oh, I mean, we can do it. You know, instead of 160, we can do it for like six apiece, you know, and we can save you $200,000. Awesome. Isn't it? You know, for as often as government on its own terms is dysfunctional, and then even more often, governments that work together, are like in conjunction on something, are even more dysfunctional. Witness the back and forth that's going on right now between the Board of County Commissioners and the mayor's office over the Baptist project and who's going to pay for what. I'll get to that, okay? But here you have two government entities saying, hey, let's work together. Let's just help each other out. And by the way, the one objection you might have on this, and I'm not insensitive to it, but the one objection you might have to this is, if government is providing something to the other government instead of a private business, is not the government competing with the private business? That's something that Larry Downs Jr. had brought up years ago, because he was upset that the city of Pensacola was doing its gas interconnects through pipes, and they had a preferred list of vendors, and they were basically competing against him by having these vendors service the, you know, I take his point. Government shouldn't compete against private industry. Well, in this case, I mean, you know, $6,000 versus $160,000. I mean, you can't really say that's competition. Like, there was only one vendor that was able to do it, and they didn't They were, you know, very, 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 very expensive. So this doesn't bother me. But that's a concern. You don't want to have government competing against private industry. But, you know, if you're going to save the taxpayers that kind of money and create goodwill and work. Anyway, just it's one of those good stories. Like, I just wanted to share because I thought it was really interesting. In fact, somebody texts in and says, great to see two government entities working together for a change. And this person works with the Veterans Memorial Park and said ECUA helped us with the original restroom project there after they, you know, sought out help from the board. So good, good. And just, you know, that's it. No big, like, oh, and then this horrible thing happened. Just a good note in local government. I actually have a couple of those this morning that we'll share with you throughout the day. 621 on news and also horrible stuff. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Robert Bender, your Escambia County Supervisor of Elections. The special general election is April 1st, and there are three ways you can vote. One, you can request a vote by mail ballot by March 20th. Two, you can vote early at any one of our 10 early voting locations from March 22nd through March 29th. Three, you can vote at your polling place on Election Day, April 1st. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote. For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend. And she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Silent breed is people!
Good morning, 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy opening day. Baseball starts again today. Very excited about that, obviously. And, you know, I don't know, y'all aren't from St. Louis. I know some of you are, because every time I talk about the Cardinals and I get people, oh, yeah, go Cardinals. The one thing, I got lucky by being a Cardinals fan. Like, I was raised a Tigers fan in Detroit, grew up in Detroit, moved to Chicago. Obviously couldn't be a White Sox fan, same division. I never did manage to catch that weird disease that being a Cubs fan requires. So even though I've been to Wrigley, and Wrigley's a great place to watch baseball, as long as you don't sit behind the I-beam. But that's all true. You can play mountain ball, sitting in the bleachers, getting drunk on watching baseball. I mean, it's Chicago. It's a great time. Anyway, but then we moved to St. Louis after we graduated. My wife got a job there, and so we moved to St. Louis, and I don't know, it was the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, and I fell in love with baseball all over again, and it was a great thing. I feel lucky because, I mean, I could have been like a Phillies fan, you know? Like, I could have had some, tell me I'm wrong.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have friends who are Cincinnati fans.
Oh, okay, good.
That's
okay.
That's all right. They're okay. They're Midwest people. It's all right, you know?
All right.
But I always feel lucky because the fan base in St. Louis is so, like, I don't know, they encourage the other player when the other player on the other team makes a good play. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
But we do because we like great baseball.
I've been to several Cards games now, and I'm like, you're right. I noticed that.
Oh, I hate it, but good play.
Yeah, good job,
know,
buddy.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the mean heckling that just doesn't happen. Anyway, opening day in St. Louis is an event. Like, it's Mardi Gras.
Don't they have, like, the Clydesdales?
Oh, yeah. The Clydesdales come in. The Hall of Famers come in. They close down that part of the city. It's a sea of red. So it's really it's
awesome.
One of those, like, I mean, I know if you're not a baseball fan, who cares? And if you, you know, why are you talking about St. Louis here in Pensacola? I'm just telling you, if you ever get a chance, go to Busch Stadium. And if you get a chance, go to opening day, because it just is an event. And I know other cities do similar things, not as well. no, that's fine. They do it well. And yes, they've been horrible for a couple of years, so we won't talk about that. Let's see. David is out today, but we've got Steve in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve, who is a Cubs fan, full disclosure, trust him anyway.
Well, the Republican chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee says there should be a full probe into the signal group that chat you've heard about a lot now that divulges U.S. military attack plans to a journalist. It seems that Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi said yesterday his committee wants to see an inspector general investigation into that matter. Hundreds of homes are being evacuated in the mountains of North Carolina, where crews are battling two major wildfires. The Forest Service ranger for Polk County says the Deep Woods Fire and the Black Cove Complex Fire are of a size right now and a scale that is unprecedented in North Carolina because of low humidity and all the leftover debris from Tropical Storm Helene. Well, March Madness, it is going on, and the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament tips off today with two games in San Francisco, another pair in Newark, and the West Region top-seeded Florida will face 4-seed Maryland before 3-seed Texas Tech takes on 10-seed Arkansas. In the East Region, 2-seed Alabama plays 6-seed BYU prior to top-seeded Duke challenging 4-seed Arizona. When it's all said and done, four teams will punch their ticket to the Elite Eight after all of that, and that's what's happening.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. All right, John, I got to ask you a self-analysis question here.
Oh, no.
I need you to tell me whether there's something wrong with me or if it's okay.
Do you want me to be honest?
I do want you to be. I want you to be brutally honest about it. And you can text in your answer too, 437-1620. So, in my bracket, I'm going to take a quick look at my bracket here. I have picked Alabama to win what I thought was going to be against Wisconsin to advance to the Elite Eight. I have Oregon going, so let's move on. Anyway, okay. So I'm an Auburn fan, right? And obviously, I have Auburn winning it all. You have to this year. I also had Illinois winning and being to the semi in the finals, and that cost me.
About it.
But with your heart, not with your mind. Anyway, I have Alabama advancing in this game, and even though I'm an Auburn fan, I kind of want Alabama to win. Those feel like weird words to say out loud. I mean, in football, you'd never.
No, never.
But basketball's not the same, right? Can I root for Alabama as an Auburn fan? I'm asking you this as a transplant, okay?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure I get all the nuances of SEC culture correct. In basketball, is it okay for an Auburn guy to pull for Alabama?
Well, here's the deal.
You're an Ole Miss guy.
I'm an Ole Miss guy. When we play State or LSU, but if anybody else is playing State or LSU,
right?
I'm a big fan.
Okay, because they're our people.
Yeah, they're our
except
people.
In football.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
All right, I wanted to make sure I had it right. I thought I did.
It's okay, just do
but
it
I felt
quietly.
Weird. I felt a little icky.
Just do it quiet.
Okay, all right, I'll stop talking about it on the radio.
Don't tell people.
It's too late. Oh man, what I don't all the different things that I have, and I'm not getting into that just yet. Supreme Court upheld the regulation on ghost guns. Oh, traffic.
Yeah,
didn't I?
No.
John Pickens has got traffic on the nines.
Thank you. Presented by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still no accidents to let you know about right now, but I'm starting to see backups on Highway 90. Right, if you're coming from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90 before that first bridge, traffic is backed up all the way to Woodbine and just a little bit after that. So if you're going southbound or westbound, however you want to look at it, you're going to see traffic delays there because construction has it down to one lane. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the nines.
Nice. So somebody texts in and says, Andrew, it's not okay for anyone to root for Alabama in any sport. I understand. I do. I have ever once in my entire life worn an Alabama sweatshirt for Halloween. Scariest thing I could find. 6:30. I don't know. I'm just in a mood this morning. It's opening day. The whole world is good. That's all I have to say about that. The EMS Core numbers, you know, the program to help get people off of addictive drugs in Escambia County. What a big success program. 311 patients inducted, 271 transitioned to long-term care, 87% success rate, 71 into detox, and just 4 currently on it. What a great program.
Chris Foster. Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney meets with his cabinet today to discuss retaliation for 25% tariffs coming on imported autos and auto parts used in factories here being imposed by President Trump.
A lot of companies are going to be in great shape because they've already built their plant, but their plants are underutilized, so they'll be able to expand them inexpensively and quickly. But others will come into our country and build, and they're already looking for sites.
Most industry analysts say prices will go up. The top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, Roger Wicker, wants an expedited inspector general review of how a journalist was added to a group chat about attack plans in Yemen. Democrat Tammy Duckworth on Fox.
I worry that our allies might not share information with us if they feel that we do not know how to safeguard. So I really want to thank Chairman Wicker for agreeing to do this.
The president and people on that chat say no laws were broken, no classified information was shared. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, 63 degrees right now in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. In a significant development, a bill aiming to eliminate community redevelopment agencies by 2045 is making its way through the legislature, sparking strong opposition from local officials in Pensacola and Escambia County. Mayor D.C. Reeves and Commissioner Mike Kohler voiced their concerns, arguing that dismantling these agencies could harm the state's most vulnerable communities, while proponents of the bill cite concerns over fund mismanagement. As the debate heats up, local leaders are already contemplating strategies to cope if the legislation passes. While early voting is underway for the Florida District 1 congressional seat, special election day is next Tuesday. Republican Jimmy Patronis and Democrat Gay Valamont are both focusing on veterans affairs. The Pensacola VA clinic sees more than 36,000 patients with roughly 500 staff members, and patients say there are already delays in care and a staffing shortage backs up their appointments for months. The Trump administration and announced earlier this month, it plans to eliminate 80,000 jobs from the VA. Patronis says if elected, the problems will not go unnoticed in his office.
There's a broad concern. I mean, it varies. But I know at the end of the day that there is no excuse on how our veterans are being treated. What we saw in this past November election is people that were fed up with how they were being treated by the federal government. This is exactly why Donald Trump got elected.
Valamont says Veteran Affairs also has her full attention.
With 83,000 jobs being cut from the VA, the math just doesn't add up. There's no way they can maintain care or even have more care when they're firing people.
In the last election against Gates, Valamont received 34% of the votes. No Democrats gotten more votes in District 1 since Earl Hutto was elected with 52% of the votes back in 1992. Valamont says she feels many voters will step out of their comfort zone this time and vote outside of the party. In Escambia County, hands-on science experiments for sixth graders are on hold due to a new executive order from President Trump, which eliminates funding from the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences. This funding was crucial for the Pensacola Mess Hall's Sixth Sense Outreach Program, widely praised by students and teachers for enhancing their understanding of science through interactive activities. Education Director Sarah Beth Gordon emphasizes that without this support, students will miss out on enriching experiences that make science come alive in the classroom. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
More warm and dry weather on tap for your Thursday. Things start out in the lower 60s first thing, but as we go into the afternoon, temperatures climb right back into those middle and upper 70s with a mix of sun and clouds going into tonight. Mostly cloudy, and Friday, things look dry to end out the week, but we do notice increasing clouds once again there, making way for a weekend weather maker that'll bring our next best chance for some showers and storms. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Now let's check out with John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still seeing some backups on Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola. Traffic is now backed up to past Woodbine. Expected maybe a 10 to 15 minute delay, and that's due to construction. Traffic is down to one lane. So my advice, if you can, take Avalon to I-10 to get yourself to Pensacola a little bit quicker. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 63 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, and 59 in Milton at 635. Next news is 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
We Care Home Hotline, you're on with Woody.
Hey, Woody, have you ever heard an air conditioner this loud?
No, but the good news is We Care has more than 10 years in business and thousands of positive reviews, so our HVAC, plumbing, and electrical teams can get it fixed and fast.
Thanks, Woody.
No one cares like We Care. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at pensacolasanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in today at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We have a lot of responsibilities in the county that challenge us every time we sit up here. And the thing is, to give $2 million out of the general fund is just not responsible to me. If we can help Baptists in a way with tipping fees, maybe, Wes, but what I'm being told by you and Don, that's a no-go. Is that true?
So this is Mike Kohler, chairman of the Escambia County Commission, District 2, and talking about this, what has now suddenly become this little brouhaha. Not so small, but over the funding for Baptist Hospital's demolition, $2 million that the county had pledged before to put into this, $13, $14, $15 million project. The mayor, I don't think he's disclosed the exact amounts that came back with the bids, but he's happy. The bids are good. Like, they're going to be able to afford to do this with the combination of funding from, the state and from the city and from the county. And then all of a sudden the county's like, oh, no, I don't think we're going to be able to do this to $2 million. And it was really interesting to listen to the tone of the conversation from the county the other day. Now, this is Stephen Barry. It's kind of a long clip, but he sounds kind of, pissy. he's irritated. He's kind of like, why is this even being raised as a problem? We just don't have this kind of money laying around.
There is no way to extract $2 million from our general fund and not have an impact to the
potential for employee raises, as well as discussions about collective bargaining. $2 million out of general fund is a lot different than $2 million out of local option sales tax fund.
Which is kind of an interesting take. You know, well, hey, if you're going to force us to take $2 million out for the demolition of Baptist, then, you know, we're not going to be able to pay the EMS and firefighters better. Really? In a, what is it, $750 or $60 million budget for Escambia County? Now, I know they don't just have all that to use whatever with, but still, $2 million that you already had said we would is not going to work?
And, you know, if there's any unhappiness or presumption that we haven't been supportive to Baptist Hospital, we just, you know, we just supported a refinance of bonds about a month ago that, as they were requested by us, did that 5-0, I believe. I didn't say anything. But the truth is, when we first did the debt placement, that's not the terms that were in that debt placement originally. Those haven't been met. There was $50 million, give or take. I don't have the item with me today. I didn't know we'd be discussing it. I will have it next week. But
by the way, that's because it was not on the agenda. This is an added discussion item that Lumen May brought up, which is weird because surely the mayor could have been invited if they knew they were going to talk about it. But instead, they didn't invite him to come, you know, and he wasn't there for other reasons, but he would have. You know, okay. All right. So anyway, we're going to continue. The mayor's in absentia, not through any fault of his own, but because this was an added item that they wanted to talk about.
There was a schedule in that debt placement that outlined what those funds were going to be used for. It outlined, I believe, $50 million for redevelopment, including the demolition of the current facility within that original debt placement. I know things didn't work out. That is what the schedule says, Ms. Garvin. You can shake your head if you, but that is what our item that we passed in the minutes. That's how it outlines it.
Don't shake your head at me, young lady. Okay.
Additionally, about 3 years ago, we instituted an MSBU district that's benefiting Baptist Hospital to the tune of $13 or $14 million annually. So I think our board has been very supportive of Baptist Hospital, very supportive of initiatives. That's $13 or $14 million that was not, it's not a misrepresentation to say that is literally new money that they're able to pull down as a function of the action that the board took. And that's annual revenue. So if there's unhappiness with perhaps unwillingness of our board to come off of $2 million of general fund money, I don't understand that.
Well, but you said you would, right? Like, it's not that nothing else good was ever done. It's that I thought we could count on this, and now all of a sudden we can't count on that anymore. That's the issue. And Stephen Berry, who has before many times expressed that he doesn't like to be, you know, portrayed poorly or negatively, doesn't like the, you know, the view of them or him as being negative. And so he is feeling that pressure right now, feeling like they're being criticized for this. And can I remind you of all the other good things we've done? And I mean, okay, you know, but still, each individual thing gets judged on its own. And $2 million in, $2 million out is kind of a big deal. Mike Kohler.
The city has a $311 million budget for 55,000 people. The county has a $798 million budget for 330,000 people. We don't get help with transit. We don't get help with the jail. We don't get help with beach nourishment. We don't get help with animal shelter. And all these things we have to balance. If we take that money out of the general fund, you may not have to money for the beach renourishment. You may not have your firehouse. The million you want for Ingleside, it's just painful. We don't have the funds. There's too many competing interests to give $2 million out of the general fund.
I was told I couldn't have money from the general fund for beach renourishment. Has that changed?
No, I'm just saying they wanted 9.3 Mike Burns.
Okay. Well, they told me I couldn't pull it from the general fund. So if you had a pot of money, I was going to take it.
I don't. But okay. My point is,
we don't, you know, and you know, we're a poor county, they're a rich city, you know, they've got this much for so many people and we've got this much for so many people and all of that. But again, the issue is not whether it's possible to find $2 million or not. The issue is, well, you said you would, now you're saying you won't. You know, that's kind of the issue. And Stephen Berry also taking a second to lay a lick on Baptist for not having done what they should have done in cleaning up the property and leaving it, which is true, but, you know, at this point, water under the bridge a little bit, you know, and are we going to be focusing on the things from the past forever, or are we going to try to find solutions for the future?
The money may not be going directly to Baptist, but it is alleviating the liability and the responsibility that that they've gone into with the City of Pensacola, whether it's going directly to Baptist or to the City of Pensacola for part of this partnership, it's still alleviate. I mean, the affordable housing, that's a catchy pitch to us. That still, our money would be going to demolish the brick and mortar that they had an original responsibility to demolish. That is what our money would be going to, regardless of how it gets there. It's just alleviating a responsibility that we don't currently have, that we're simply being asked to chip in for.
Look, we didn't make this problem. They made this problem. They should have been taken care of it. We should have never been brought into this. And how dare anybody criticize us for walking back our, not for sure, but tentative promise that we would put $2 million into this, you know, $13, $14, $15 million project. Well, I mean, we thought we were all partners in this. We thought that there was, I think the city's view on this, my view on this is, this is a massive transformative project, and the very first thing that has to happen is Baptist needs to be demolished, the old facility. There's other things that can happen, but that's a key part of this. And it's going to be a massive benefit for everybody, but we have to get there by starting at this thing that's expensive. The city's going to benefit from this. The county's going to benefit from this. The state's going to benefit from this. And so every Baptist, you know, isn't going to have to pay for it. Everybody's getting a win, but, you know, where does the $2 million come from? Then the mayor talked about this. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. We've got a broke down car right now on Highway 29 and Beck's Lakes Road. Disabled semi, on the railroad tracks. So definitely be aware of that.
Did you say there's an 18-wheeler parked on the railroad tracks?
That's the information I'm getting.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Hope that works out okay.
And also on Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola, traffic is backed up all the way to Chemuckla Highway, going west or south or however you want to call it. Construction delays there down to one lane. So I had experienced about a 15 to 20 minute head start on that one because it's going to keep going. But after you pass that, you're all good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Also, where'd you say, what was the railroad crossing? Beck's Lake Road?
Uh-huh. At Highway 29?
You know what I wonder? This is pure speculation, okay? But you know how all the railroad crossings got rehabilitated recently? And sometimes when they rehabilitate the crossing, they do it different? And an 18-wheeler getting stuck at a railroad crossing could be the 18-wheeler broke down. It could also be a beached whale.
True.
I don't know.
I don't either.
And I don't know whether that crossing is done weird in the... Just thinking out loud. All right, John, thanks so much for the update. Back to the conversation about Old Baptist Hospital and who's going to fund the demolition. The mayor was asked about this, and the clips I was playing you were from last Thursday's. It was Tuesday's Escambia County Committee. That's right. It was just this week. So that was kind of like dueling things because in the morning they were talking about it, but then also in the morning at the press conference, people were asking the mayor about this.
If it's not going to be that the county feels that this is a benefit enough to invest $2 million into a monumental multi-generational project. If they don't feel that way, I certainly have to respect that decision. But what I would request is that the county government not be the only government involved in this that profits from the project. And if they decide to not contribute and we expect more than $2 million of tipping fees to go to the landfill on this project, that would be zero if we didn't do it. I think that's my humble request is can the county participate with the profits that it will make off of this demolition?
Ooh. you may not know the facts behind all of this, but the county owns the landfill, the Perdido landfill up on Beulah Road. Okay, they own that. Is it Beulah Road at that point? It is, right? Anyway, I had suddenly questioned that. But they own the landfill, so they make money on the tipping fees. A demolition project is going to produce what? Garbage. That you're going to have to get rid of somewhere, and you're going to dispose of it at the landfill. And the estimate is that the county is going to make a couple million dollars maybe on the tipping fees at the landfill due to the demolition project. Now, of course, making is a little bit subjective. They have a cost involved in the making of it, but they're going to revenue, okay, let's say $2 million from the project. And the mayor's like, so you're telling me that you can't find $2 million in general revenue to pay for it, but you are happy to take the $2 million in profit from the project that everybody else is funding? Interesting.
You're asking me to state my case. If the county doesn't feel obligated to, whether it's disdain for Baptists, whether it's, again, I have to respect that opinion, but I don't think it's an unfair request to say, while the state government is putting up $7 million and the city is putting up $1 million plus a $6 million grant, plus about 15 years of bandwidth that it'll take to make this project happen, then the just not to have the county government be the profit $2 or $3 million off of the project and at least use those funds, as opposed to if there's hesitation to use general funds or LOSD, whatever. I'm not sure exactly what funds were discussed today, but so that's I think where we're at right now.
Yeah, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense to have to go generate all of this funding in order to make this project begin that we're going to be invested in for a long time. And in the process, you guys just wind up profiting off of both having it in the county and also off and property taxes are going to be generated, and among other things, but and also off of the tipping fees from the demolition stuff. Now, it is an interesting note, and I learned something I hadn't thought about. Well, maybe the county could just not charge tipping fees for this debris, right? You would think like that could be their in-kind donation. You know, instead of $2 million, they could give a $2 million discount on the tipping fees at the landfill, right? Well, no, you can't do that.
He's saying is not possible is we have not requested a discount of tipping fees. You can't discount tipping fees because of FEMA rules. Because when we have a hurricane coming through, then FEMA gets the lowest rate that's ever been given, right? The favored nation status, whatever you want to call it, which makes total sense, right? It's to protect the federal government from a landfill coming and saying, well, we want to charge more money than we did. So we are not asking for a request of discounting tipping fees.
Yeah, if you charge them half price or no price, then FEMA gets everything for free the next time there's a disaster, and we can't do it that way. So that's why you can't work it. But, you know, even he says, look, if it winds up that there's $1.5 million in tipping fees instead of two, I mean, we don't mind, you know, that you only wind up contributing $1.5 million. Like, we'll even give you your first money back out if it doesn't wind up costing so much. We just want something that's fair.
What we're asking for is a contribution equivalent to the profit that the county stands to make off of the project. That's what we're looking for.
So that's that. This is a conversation, you know, that's going on right now. You've probably seen it reported in Channel 3. And, you know, I don't know if the PNJ has an article about this. They probably have. But that's the discussion. We thought we had this thing all funded. And now all of a sudden the county is like, whoa, 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 whoa. I know we said. So, whereas ECUA and the city are getting along well to save everybody money in the installation of the port and lose, the city and the county are at the moment not exactly getting along well on this particular subject. So, you know, much like other things, we probably need to have a joint meeting. You know, I don't know if it needs to be all of city council and the board of county commissioners, but certainly DC can meet with the board. They can meet one-on-one, but maybe they can meet in an open meeting and we can have everybody talking about this. And let's hash some of these things out, like the Baptist demolition, like the Bay Center, and, you know, other things that would be issues that the county and this a low barrier access shelter for the homeless, you know, something that's been bandied about for years and years and hasn't really been done yet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tired of wandering the aisles of those big box stores, struggling to find the help you need? At Home Outlet, we do things differently. First, we guarantee the lowest price on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. Find it cheaper somewhere else? We'll beat it by 10%. Second, we're employee owned. Yep, the folks helping you design your dream kitchen actually own the place. You're not just another customer to us. You're the customer. So why deal with the other stores? Break up with the big box and upgrade to Home Outlet. Find a location near you at homeoutlet.com.
The first years of school are crucial for your child's development. At Pensacola Christian Academy, students thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation for your child. Kindergartners become confident readers, grow fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes six open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ha! That's it! Hold it right there! Pronoun trouble.
Good morning, 656 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's opening day, so the world is wonderful. Let's see. We've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John?
That's right. If you are heading from Payson to Pensacola via Highway 90, we've got traffic backed up all the way to Chemuckla as there you got construction going on the west southbound side. As you head from Pace into Pensacola, right before the even first bridge, I'd expect maybe an 18 to 20 minute delay with that. My advice, take Avalon down to I-10 and get on that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, or I know I talk about Frontier Motors a lot, and Dave Ramsey talks about them a lot, and I think typically the mindset is that if you're wanting to buy a car, the people who sell the cars are kind of like your adversary. Like, you're trying to get the good thing from them without getting taken advantage of, and, you know, that, it feels that way, like it's you against them. Just here's a thought. Instead of thinking about Frontier as the adversary, thinking about them as the ally. Think about them as a resource. Think about them as the folks you can actually ask for their opinion. And ask them, you know, I mean, this is kind of the budget I'm looking at. These are some of the needs that I have. I've been kind of thinking about this, but what are you finding? What's reliable? What do people like? What do they really like after they've been driving it for a couple of years? What sells well as a resale? Like, what guidance could you give me as somebody who only has the limited experience of driving the few cars I drive in my life? Somebody who you guys process thousands and thousands of cars. Share your expertise with me. Like, that's just a different way to approach it, but you can. Ask them, and they'll tell you, okay? And they can help you. And then, you know, if you want to buy a car from them, great. If you don't, that's fine too. You know, whatever. But just think of them as a resource, maybe. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Dave is out the next couple of days. Steve is sitting in for him. Steve Taylor with the news. Steve?
The Supreme Court's upholding the Biden administration regulations on so-called ghost gun kits. The kits easily allow people to get the needed parts to build firearms from sellers online. The decision was 7-2 with Justice Gorsuch. Also, he was there writing the majority opinion.
Yeah, the key there being without serial numbers. That's
yes.
The key, the without
yeah.
serial numbers and what qualifies as a gun, what does not qualify as a gun. It's a very complicated thing, but a 7-2 majority on this issue is pretty strong.
It is. President Trump says he could extend the deadline for the upcoming TikTok ban if he wants to. Speaking to reporters, he said he might give China a reduction in tariffs if its government approves a TikTok deal brokered by America. And of course, yeah, today's the happy day, the Major League Baseball season getting underway with 14 games on the schedule. Key matchups, of course, the Brewers are battling the Yankees and the Bronx, Guardians and Royals in Kansas City, Mets and Astros in Dakin Park. And maybe, Andrew, you can confirm the rumor the Cardinals are going to rumble with Minnesota and
yeah,
Busch Stadium.
That's right. Yeah. Opening day. Yeah. See you red. It's going to be fun.
But there's a chance of showers, unfortunately. Well, keep an eye on that one. First
pitch
is
anyway.
3:15.
No
yeah.
play anyway. You shut your Cubs fan mouth. Steve, thanks so much for the update. Somebody says, you know, a lot of times you get tentative promises. Don't die on the sword of Escambia County over this. Why shouldn't somebody make a profit? The builders and so forth. Well, yeah, but it's also government.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and.